All right, well, today we're doing another Bible study session at the 9:30, and I've decided to make these a once-a-month thing. Today is the second time recently we've had one, but that's because of the one Sunday where Stephen and Noel got back unexpectedly late because of flight delays. But I had already planned to do this one, so I'm just going to stick to the plan and do the Bible study session that we planned to do for today's 9:30. So as usual, we'll have a short lesson on doing Bible study, and then we'll have a study time, and then discussion. So as I previously have done, I do want to go over five different types of Bible study that I think everyone should be intentional to become adept at. The first one is just like a plain read through, just reading through the scriptures as you would normally, and that is what most people do. Of a second type, which we'll get to on a later Sunday, is what I'll call isolated study. Just studying a passage or a verse by itself in depth and really going deep on it or meditating on it or looking up specific words and trying to understand that specific passage or that specific verse better. Studying that part on its own in depth. The third one that I'll mention is what I'll call topical study, and that's studying what the Bible has to say about a certain topic. That's the one that we did the last two times. The next one I'll mention is what I'll call investigative study, and that's when you have a question about God or about ethics or about wisdom or about theology that you don't know the answer to, and you're going to study it out until you come to a well-reasoned answer on your own. And not just take someone else's word for it. And this is something everyone needs to learn to do. There's a great many debates going on in the church about various theological matters. And you shouldn't just trust other people's opinions for those things. You should be able to digest each one of those debates, understand the sides, and pick for yourself which one you think is right, and have a why as to why you think it's right. But that's going to take time. That's going to take doing investigative Bible study. And then the fifth type of study I'll mention is memorization, and we'll get into that on a later date. But they're all important. But you won't really be as well-developed as you could be in your knowledge of the Bible and in your Bible study habits until you've experienced all four or all five of them. A person who regularly does all five of these and does all five of them over the course of years is going to know the Bible way better than a person who only ever does one. So I really want us to get to the point where we're each adept in doing these various types of Bible study on our own. And that's why I like to have us do them here, because doing something in a group is a good way to do something that you're not used to doing, maybe not comfortable with doing. But I really hope that you guys take these home and at least occasionally do these types of Bible study on your own. All right, so today we're going to practice investigative Bible study. So I want to briefly talk about why it's important to practice investigative Bible study. First off, you're going to have questions about the Bible or questions about God or questions about ethics or questions about wisdom or questions about theology that aren't going to have obvious answers. And I'm sure most of you have already realized or experienced that. And it's going to happen even more than it already has. You are going to continue to come across questions without obvious answers. But just because they don't have obvious answers doesn't mean you can't get the answers. And it doesn't mean you can't get the answers on your own even. As you read the Bible, questions are going to come up. And as you interact with others, questions are going to come up. And you need to be capable, you need to become adept and experienced at getting answers on your own. Which kind of leads me to bring up the importance of thinking for yourself, and learning to do investigative Bible study well is helpful with that. You know, you need to come to conclusions on your own. You can't just leave difficult thinking to others and trust them. Let's look at Proverbs 14, verse 15. The simple believes everything, or some translations say the naive believe everything, but the prudent gives thought to his steps. Let's also look at Acts 17, verse 11. Now these Jews were more noble than those in Thessalonica. They received the word with all eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see if these things were so. Now, I think part of the reason they're called noble isn't just because they examine the scriptures daily. I think it's also because they received the word with eagerness. But nonetheless, they didn't just take Paul's word for it, even though Paul was right. And Paul doesn't say, you guys didn't believe me right away, even though I was right. He still commends them for for the fact that they thought through it for themselves. They didn't just trust him. They went to the scriptures on their own to find out if whether or not what Paul was saying was actually biblical. And Paul doesn't look down upon the fact that they didn't trust him right away, that they verified what he said first. And lastly, I just want to look at 2 Timothy 2, verse 7. Paul tells Timothy, think over what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything. And Paul's saying this in a letter to Timothy, and that letter is now scripture. So I think one thing we can kind of glean from this is that God will empower us as we think over his word. Which is good to know, because doing investigative study, starting with a question you know that you don't know the answer to, and saying, I'm going to find the answer to this question, that might seem daunting or complex, but God will give you knowledge as you think through his word. Even if you don't come to the exact answer, or it takes time to come to an answer, either way, God will give you knowledge as you think through his word, and that's the important thing to get. I also want to say that even if you come to the same answer as someone else, or the same answer that you otherwise would have accepted if you didn't do your own investigative study, just having thought it through for yourself, you'll know it better than you did if you just accepted somebody else's answer. Even if you just come to the same conclusion you otherwise would have if you didn't think through it for yourself, you know it better if you thought it through for yourself. And that's a huge concept. That's very important. You really need to get the importance of that. Even if you come to the exact same conclusion you otherwise would have come to anyways, just accepting somebody else's answer, somebody you trust, you're better off having done it by thinking it through for yourself because you actually know it better. And so lastly, I guess I just want to say on the importance of doing investigative Bible study, you can gain a lot of knowledge through this. This can be very helpful. You know, a lot of the things that I've learned, I've mentioned before in these Bible study sessions, the majority of things I get from my sermons, I don't get from books. I get most of them from personal Bible study. There's a lot to be gained by just thinking through things, by just doing investigative Bible study for yourself. All right, so let's talk about how to do investigative Bible study. Let's say you have a question you want the answer to. How are you going to go about getting it? What are you going to do about that? So I've got 5 steps, I think. So the first thing you should do is start with a clear question. If you only have a vague question, it's just easier if you start with a clear question that you have written down. The second thing that I would recommend you do is make a list of all the relevant verses to that question. So you've got your clear question written down. make a list of all the verses relevant to that question. The third thing I'll recommend that you do after you've made a list of all the relevant verses is make a list of all the possible or plausible answers, or of the various views if you're trying to sift through a debate that you don't know which side to agree with. So after listing all the relevant verses, try to make a list of all the possible answers. And this listing all the possible answers is important because you're going to work with each possible answer individually. So that brings us to the next set of steps, which is a set of steps that you apply to each of the possible answers you listed. Make a list of verses for each answer in your list of possible answers, because you want to process each one individually, and I'll get into why. But make a list of verses that seem to support that answer, and also make a list of verses that seem to be against that answer. And then for that answer, try to come to a conclusion on it. Now, the reason I say try to come to a conclusion on the answer individually is because sometimes you can come to a conclusion on one possible answer before the others, and just eliminating it can be helpful. And the other reason I say try to come to a conclusion on possible answers individually is that not only is it good to know why a right answer is right, but it's good to know why a wrong answer is wrong. Mm-hmm. Let me say that again just because, just to make sure it clicks. Not only is it good to know why a right answer is right, but it's also good to know why a wrong answer is wrong. And a person who knows both of those things knows more and understands the question better than the person who only knows why the right answer is right, but doesn't know why the various wrong answers are wrong. So come to a conclusion for each answer, each possible answer on its own. And then the last step is to just try to come to a final conclusion. What do you think what is your answer to this question? What is your conclusion on it? So those are my five steps for how to do investigative Bible study, how to start with a question and come to an answer on it. I also will mention a few tips. The first one is to pray through the entire process. You know, if you have a question, if you had an exam, this is not an exam, but if you had an exam on a book and you knew the author, smart thing to do would be to just ask the author. That's the best type of cheating there is. Prayer is the best type of cheating you can do, and I highly encourage it. We should pray through the entire process. Pray before you start writing things down. Pray about your questions as you write things down. Pray that God would guide you to think of all the relevant verses. And as you're coming up with your final conclusion, pray that God would give you wisdom. Another thing that is helpful is to read other people's views. If this is a common question or a common debate, to just read other people's views on it. That's very helpful. And the last tip I'll give is to give it time. Sometimes investigative Bible study takes time. And when I say it takes time, I don't just mean like a session might take long. Sometimes it takes weeks or months, or if it's a big enough question, even years to come to a real answer to a thing. Now, most things won't take years. But you can probably count them on one hand, things you might go through in your life, big questions you have that after years you will come to a good answer on. Some people go through that. Give the process time and be patient, but also be consistent. Work through it. Think about it. Pray about it. Don't just give up and say, it's too difficult, I don't want to do it, I'll never get an answer to this question. Don't do that. All right, so today we're going to practice doing this. We're going to work on this individually and then come back together. Well, we're not leaving the room, but then we're going to have discussion. So I'm going to put forward a question, and then we're all going to just study it on our own and try to come to a conclusion about the question. So I wanted to start with a question. We'll do more of these in the future. Like I said, we're doing this Bible study sessions thing once a month. But I wanted this first one to not be too complex or controversial. So today's question, and we will have controversial questions in the future, but not today. And I'll give you handouts that I have up here that have the question and notes on them. But today's question is, is it unwise to compare yourself to others? It's a good basic question. Is it unwise to compare yourself to others? And I have handouts that I'll pass out in just a minute that have the question on it. So again, in terms of how you go about coming up with an answer to this question, I recommend just using the method we talked about. Make a list of relevant passages. Make a list of possible answers. And then for each of the possible answers you listed, list all the verses that seem to support it, list all the verses that seem to be against it, and try to come to a conclusion on it individually, and then try to come to an overall conclusion. And just to help you get started, I've come up with, just in case you have a hard time or don't feel like coming up with your list of possible answers, I've come up with a short list of possible answers that you can just use or write down. Well, actually, let's just pass these out. No, I'm just going to give four possible answers. Maybe the last one's a joke. It's up for you to decide. But I'll wait for everyone to get their papers. You should be able to get one per person, yeah. Oh, you could easily break down one of these answers into multiple. You could have more than four. But anyways, the four possible answers that offer, and again, you don't have to use these. You can only write down three if you want, or you can come up with your own. You can come up with more than four if you like. But the four possible answers that I'll throw out to the question, is it unwise to compare yourself to others, are yes, no, it depends, and D, the Bible has nothing to say about it. Like having thoughts about yourself that are based on having compared yourself to others. It's vague. It's compare. Whatever that could mean. I'm going to leave that up to personal interpretation. I'll just throw this out there. It's still up to personal interpretation, but I think contrasting is a type of comparison. So anyways, let's see, it is 9:52. I'll give you 15 to 20 minutes to work on this, and then we'll just have a time where we can share or discuss anything that we'd like to share. Also, feel free to use Google, feel free to use ChatGPT if you're into that. please feel free to pray. Don't try to contact the dead or anything, but this is not an exam. Use any means necessary. All right, I'm going to say what I always say at the end of these things. So time's up, and you might have been in the middle of something you wanted to finish, and if that's the case, great, because that just means you have an opportunity to do it on your own at home, which is what I want everyone to be doing. You know, how you want to work it into your own personal Bible study is your prerogative, but I hope that we all start incorporating this into how we read the Bible on our own. So anyways... Did anyone find anything interesting? Does anyone have anything to share? Any thoughts? Yes, Melody. Yep.
Yep.
Sure. Yep. I'm just going to throw out real quick, Melody, I did have that one marked down as well from 2 Corinthians about when they measure themselves by one another, they are without understanding. But John, to your point, I also had, remember your leaders, those who spoke the word of God to you, and consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. On one hand, it can be unwise to compare yourself to others. And on another hand, I would say you can't actually consider someone else's life and try to imitate it without comparing yourself to them on some level.
Servant who was forgiven, and then he doesn't go and forgive,
right?
Yep.
Like if he had compared his situation to the situation of the guy who owed him money, he could have come out on top of him. You know, like he could have figured out, oh, I should be forgiven.
Sure.
The only person who can forgive such a large debt is God. So like ultimately, we're really not comparing ourselves to humans, we're comparing ourselves to God at this point.
Yep.
Like I keep seeing judgment.
Right.
Right. Like you can take the whole book of Proverbs and it's Solomon probably mostly giving examples of things that foolish people are doing. Now he's not being specific, but he's comparing foolish people with wise people typically. But like he said, it's all according to God's standard, right? It's the same thing that the author of Ecclesiastes comes to when he says, everything is vanity unless it's done for God, right? Like, the reason why we're doing something and the reason why we're comparing ourselves to other people matters as well.
Yeah, John,
the motivation.
I don't know about that, comparing yourself to, like, people's habits, because I think for... If it doesn't have to do with God's law, it doesn't necessarily translate, like one person's habits don't necessarily translate to another person's habits being effective law, right? So like, yeah, maybe studying 2 hours a day is really helpful for that person and what God's called them to, but if a parent is going out and studying 2 hours a day, they're probably neglecting their child. You know what I mean? And so it's like just saying, comparing yourself, if it's working for them, that's not enough to say that's a good habit.
Yeah.
For somebody else.
You can only measure that based on God's law, and like, where are your priorities based on His law? Like, children are important.
But I don't know. I think that's why it says in Hebrews, consider the outcome of their way of life. I kind of think part of the implicit idea of considering is like, is this fitting for me? Is my calling similar to theirs? Is my amount of resources and time available similar to theirs? They set a good example. It might be good for me. It might not be. Like, consider it.
When stuff like this comes up, with like habits or opinions that don't necessarily, they have more nuance, right? I always go back to, what is the Holy Spirit convicting you of concerning this? Have you prayed about it? Have you sat in the presence of God in the Spirit to figure out what God has to say? Right?
And I feel like the outcome of your comparison is super
important. Yeah.
What it actually does for you and for the other person. Because if that comparison causes envy or you or the other person, or pride for you or the other person, either way, they know that you're comparing yourself to them. Maybe they'll feel, depending on what the comparison is, if you feel like they're more mature than you, they're going to feel like a sense of unhealthy responsibility or pressure to do what's right and be a good example. Which, I mean, it is important, especially for parents to be example for their kids, but if they have an unhealthy amount of
discussion. Sure.
I'm going to throw out a few verses and then mention some of my thoughts on my answer. And by the way, don't think that my answer is right just because it's my answer. My answer could be wrong. The whole point of this is to think for yourself. But a few that I threw out there kind of in contrast to what was said are pointing in the other direction, because there's verses that point in either direction on this, is when David said, "I am wiser than all my teachers because your testimonies are my meditation." Or when Moses said he was the most humble person on earth. Or one interesting one is in Jeremiah 23:14, when God tells Israel that they've become like Sodom and Gomorrah. And I feel like, as weird as it is, on some level, by telling them that, he's implicitly kind of trying to get them to realize they've become like Sodom and Gomorrah, which involves using that as a milestone for how far you've fallen. Yeah. Right. Yep. Yep. Yeah. So overall, I arrived on it depends. I definitely wouldn't say outright it's wise to compare yourselves to others, or that outright it's not. But one thing to think about if you arrive on it depends is, what does it depend on? And to some degree, we talked about this. Byron mentioned the outcome of it. But yeah, that's some of my thoughts and conclusion. Well, I guess I'll mention three things I think it depends on, and then, well, we only have so much time. I think not doing it out of pride makes a difference. I think whether or not it leads to thinking ourselves accurately or inaccurately makes a difference. And one that Daniel kind of alluded to is not comparing apples to oranges. Another verse I wrote down, 1 Corinthians 12:16, if the ear says, because I'm not an eye, I'm not a part of the body, it doesn't make it any less part of the body. And sometimes you might compare yourself to someone who God has gifted in a certain thing and say, well, I'm not that gifted, so I really need to work on this. And that may or may not be true. You don't want to do apples to oranges comparisons. So I wish I had more time for us to discuss, but I do want to get some feedback real quick. So feel free to not raise your hand for this. I won't be offended. Or feel free to raise your hand if this was helpful. Was this helpful? Okay. Second question. Is 15 to 20 minutes too little?
Yes.
Second question, or third question, just because I want to get a full sense, is 15 to 20 minutes too much? Okay. Yeah, I expected not many people would say it is too much, but I wanted to see if anyone would. And if anyone thinks it is, there's nothing wrong with that. Sometimes you get all your answers out quickly and it just flows. But anyways, I guess that's all we have time for. Let's close in prayer. Dear Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to study your word and to study your word together. We pray that you'd help us to become more excited about studying your word and to improve in how we study your word, to regularly get more insights and to get the enjoyment of discovering new things we didn't know were there. We pray that that'd be a regular part of our lives. And we pray that we'd know you deeper for your word. And we thank you for your grace and amen.